Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The United States Border Patrol has exciting and rewarding career opportunities with the nation's largest law enforcement organization.
Earn great pay with outstanding federal benefits and up to $20,000 in recruitment incentives. Learn more online at cbp.gov/careers/USBP.
We made USAA insurance to help you save. Take advantage of discounts when you cover your home and your ride. Discover how we're helping members save at usaa.com/bundle. USAA. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to Pop, The History Makers, with me, Steve Blame. In this, part two of the podcast with John Watts, he talks about some of the things that have happened to him on stage, his self-destruct side, and just how many personalities he's got. If you like the podcast, please vote, comment, and pass the word on. It all helps.
I mean, you mentioned sort of having to deal with violence, but if you were in a band in that era, and particularly the punk era, as someone who was in the audience, there was violence, there was violence on stage as well.
Yeah, but the band used to get upset with me because I used to like provoking it. I don't know whether you went to venues like the Music Machine in London ever. The Music Machine in London, for the uninitiated, you had basically, there was two lots of stairs either side of the stage. And if people were sort of leering at me, I'd, come on in. And they'd go, what's he? No, stop doing that. Come on. You know, the secret is not to jump off the stage, because I've been beaten up twice by jumping off the stage. Very bad move. But we've got two incidents which were dangerous, though. We were in Greece in 1980. We were standing on stage. I was playing. It was a warm night with just a pair of Rupert Bear trousers, playing like this. And suddenly the bass player went white. We didn't know what had happened. And then the police started running around everywhere. It was a festival made out of an amphitheatre made out of corrugated iron for the night. So it was pretty urban. But on the side, you've got great wooden posts, which you had the PA system attached to. Anyway, after examination, I was wondering what the hell was going on with the police. And the bass player said, oh, God. I was obviously about, say, 3 metres in front of him. Somebody had fired a crossbow from one side, and it had gone just in front of the bass player's nose. He was well behind me, two or three. And it was stuck in the side of the wooden thing. But it killed us. And also in those days, I remember playing Newcastle Mayfair Ballroom, and there was lots of skinheads, and there was reggae people, and there was bikers, and they're all sort of big heaving in front of me. And I said, God, kill one another. You're not listening properly, you scumbag. What I failed to notice was there was a balcony above us. I didn't know that because I didn't see it because the lighting was bad. And about halfway through our set, I was so lucky. This huge metal table was thrown from about 25 feet. It went through the stage in front of the drummer behind me. I mean, that would have killed me. It's ridiculous. And also, I got chased through a kitchen by a mad Luxembourg cook on acid with a big cookery knife who claimed I was looking at his girlfriend during the set. And I actually did I had to do the cartoon diving out the toilet window to escape. I've done it once. And also, my biggest claim to fame is that people thought that I wasn't a psychologist. They thought I was a psychopath. And the stranglers we were assigned to on UA, I mean, I talked to John Jack about it. They thought we were nuts. They kept well clear of us because our first gig in Berlin, we played with, we had a student support band. And during the support band, this lunatic was screaming at them all the way through and put them right off. And they had to leave the stage. So we came on, we did two numbers, but was still screaming. So I said, look, if you don't shut up, the next time I'm going to come down, I'm going to pull your head off. And so he's going, yeah! So you know what, the theatre where you get three levels and you hear the wood. So I'm halfway through a song, throw the guitar down, bonk, and you can hear me running down. So I stretched him around the thing, beat him up. All his mates joined in and started pulling my legs off and hitting me with bits of seats. Then all the crowd joined in. Anyway, I went back and I forgot. I'd done verse one. I went back and did verse three. But those kind of incidents went down in folklore in the United Artists. And so I was known as a bloke who was always involved in fights. So it's quite fun. We got a great film from the, what was it? Was it the ICA? Yeah, I got attacked by a bloke with a Coke can, and we had colour film that was actually Tim Pope lost it. It was colour film where the bloke had cut my eyebrow with Coke can, and my roadie was sponging off the blood on the stage. But the most day I got hit with a peach very hard at Reading Festival once as well. That was nasty. Sorry, these silly stories. I don't know if you mind this, Steve.
No, I mean, God, who doesn't love a good story? I mean, I think that's the reason why they happen sometimes. It's because we have them to hold with us for our lives, which is brilliant. You mentioned George Melly earlier, when you told me those stories, it reminded me of something I saw with him. I think it was on a chat show called Parkinson in the 70s, where he was set upon in the street. And what he did, instead of running away or reacting, he just turned to them. And I think he spoke in Latin, if my memory is correct.
Yeah.
He spoke in Latin and said something to them, which confused them all, obviously. And then they just thought, oh, my God, he's more of a nutter than we are. They ran off. And what you're telling me is sort of a little bit similar.
Yes. The thing is, the rule of thumb is, I mean, I did a bit of boxing as well. The rule of thumb is, if you're a big bloke, another big bloke will come in the bar and try and beat you up. If you're a little bloke, then a big bloke will come and beat you up. But if you're a nutter, they'll keep a real safe distance. I've got a good nutter story if you've got a quick moment.
Oh, yeah.
In Dundee, playing in Dundee, a very tough place. When I went there, I thought, my God, it's made of Kellogg's boxes. And when we went in, I'd come out after the show and I saw the most frightening sight. I was basically having a strip-down wash, my top. And I was in the toilet so I could see the mirror. In from the mirror came three Scots guys, 15 feet wide and only about 5 feet tall, and they just moved. I thought, this doesn't look too good. I'd got checky trousers on that looked a little bit like tartan trousers, and they were sort of pointing, take this bit. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die. The worst place in the world to be thumped is a toilet. Everything's hard and shiny and nasty. So I thought, what am I going to do? And I turned around slowly and said, I'm terribly sorry, these trousers have got actually nothing to do with being Scots. Nothing to do with being Scots at all. No, they're just checking, like, with the bare trousers. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know what to do. And they were like, and I kept doing it. And I gradually got past them out and legged it. And I've never been so scared in my life. But, yes, I gave them the Rupert Bear speech.
The Rupert Bear speech. Yeah, that should make anyone run away. The you mentioned Sting, the Police. You've shared the stage with people like Peter Gabriel, with Bob Marley. Is there ever a sort of exchange in terms of you gain or you learn something from these people and they learn something from you? And I just wondered, to turn it on its head, what do these people learn from you? Because often that's a surprising thing that is true.
I think it's a reinforcement that the way they've done their career is sensible and mine isn't. One of my friends, John, we also toured with Dire Straits, and a personal friend of mine, because he lived near me, was John Ilsley. And John always said, oh my God. He said, you make it so difficult. If things are going well, you wreck them. And if things are going badly, you make them better again, then you wreck them. I don't know what it is.
I don't believe that, because I think there is something else about your career which is much more positive. Now, you're shit with money. I mean, that's obvious. You know what I mean? That's something, a different concept. There are people who invest and they're good with money and they make money from money. And that's something that you obviously haven't done. But there are people that manage to stay on an inspired creative path that fulfills them. And I think that's the thing that you really have done.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very proud of that. I mean, for instance, even the contemporary one thing, the album that we've just made, I mean, that's I think it's about the 25th original album. And for me, I don't listen to music I used to listen to much. I listen to everything that's new right across the board, because I think you need that to be relevant. Obviously, my biggest influence is myself, having been at it for a long time. But the idea that what my son instilled in me was, he said, look, all your new stuff is important, but it's one brick in a monstrous wall, and you should be very proud of that wall. I mean, the idea that I've been able to keep this going for 42 years was ridiculous. I mean, I've owned this flat 3 times. I don't own it now. I was invested. I'll make a film with it, or I do something with it. I got a mortgage at the age of 65 last year. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but I mean, the truth is, you know, when we all end up in the grave, what are we going to do? Be buried with our money? Do you know what I mean? What is the choice? You either have, if you have a creative life, the most important thing is to continue that creative life. If you have money and you still can be creative with that money, but it can also restrict you. I mean, I've experienced that in the past when, you know, as a successful TV presenter a long time ago, I think I was at my most uncreative during my most successful period.
I think that sometimes it's difficult. You were talking about affirmation for what you've done. Because of leaving Fisher Z in that first year, it was very successful, and then having a court case with management, I never actually got either financial or recognition for it, or I didn't do the huge celebratory We're Famous tours, which gives you a feeling about that. But for me, one of the most, I don't know, the idea of creating something new, the process of doing it and then playing it to people is just extraordinary. As long as I can keep ticking, it's fine. And I have my moments. The biggest problem I have when I don't have chance to create as much stuff, I always get fed up. When the business goes wrong, I get involved in the business and I'm terrible at it and it upsets me. Then I get out of it again. And I have nil patience, which is, again, going back to the difference between an offstage personality and an onstage. The thing that makes me good as a performer, I think, is things come out my mouth and out my head without any filter on a stage. And I really am at one with people. Whether if I'm playing to a monstrously big crowd, then I like to think I make each person that's there makes them feel like they're in a little club and I'm playing to them. And if you're playing in a little club, we for instance did with COVID, we did London and we did Manchester last weekend. They were fabulous gigs. You're talking about gigs that normally hold 300 people. You maybe had you have 100 plus there because of COVID restrictions and people not doing it. They were extraordinary gigs. The experience of performance is quite extraordinary, and the writing thing is wonderful. As I say, I'm actively always trying to get out the business, but I always end up in that as well.
Do you write for you, or do you write with an audience in mind? Because your audience is incredibly loyal. I mean, I saw that gig. It actually shocked me because I don't think I've been in an audience that you felt this connection between them and you. And it was an amazing feeling because it had this power to it.
Well, the thing about it is that because I've changed names, and what I always believed is that you should change name and label if you change musical style a bit. And that turns out to have been a bit dim. If I'd have started off as an art person called Trouser Parts, Trouser Parts could have done music, could have done poetry, could have written books, could have made a painting made of his breakfast, and it would still be relevant. And these days, kids can do that, and I love them for it. They do, their first record will be called Cabbage, and then the next one will be called Pandas on Acid. And they follow it. But my career, to answer your question, my career has been difficult to follow. Those that have managed to follow it are keen.
Do you write for yourself, though, or with the audience in mind, ever?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, is there an expectation when you sit down?
I think I write about what affects me, and it can be anything. So I suppose it's writing for me, really. Some would say, my ex-wife and family, for instance, that what I write is 100% honest, and what I live is not as 100% honest outside of it.
Oh, that's interesting. So that, where is the difference? Where does it depart from each other?
Because I can be totally open in my work as an artist, whereas I'm much more protective and much shyer if you're presenting something to the public, to the world. I mean, one of my ex-wives used to say, if she wants to know what's going on, she'll listen to the next album.
Oh, wow. But that is such a compliment.
I hope so. I mean, in some ways it is. I mean, recently my kids will say they love me. I've got five children in their 20s and 30s, all of which are quite happy to speak to me, which is all good. I get on very well with them. They all have the same mum, which is amazing in my business. And I still get on with it. I was divorced from their mum, but we still get on very well. But they said, and they had a bit of a, recently some personal stuff that's been out the window, and they said, look, you're never 100% anywhere except when you're making music. And he said, no problem, Dad. We know that.
You're listening to Pop, the History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.
At the beginning, we talked about the fact that the lyrics, the words are one side. Mm. The performance and the musicianship are the other sides. The performance, as I said, when I went to this concert, I was taken aback by a number of things, and one of them was the energy on stage that you are able to transport from your playing. Now, you know, I'm 62, you're about 65, I think.
I'm 66, I'm nearly 66.
Oh, wow. Then, but I mean, this energy is still there to do that. Yeah. Where do you think you sort of got this from in terms of building this over the years, that a performance can be so strong on stage despite, you know, being a bit older?
You just do it differently, in the same way as the physical aspects of performance. For instance, I've lost 6 or 7 notes high, but I've gained about 10 low. So therefore, I do things in slightly different keys. But the energy, I think it's about the spirit of the human being, really. I mean, I would do all sorts of things. I mean, I had a 60-foot lead when we were mucking about, when we were like in 20s. And I could run right across the stage, knowing the way Springsteen does. I'd skid right across the shiny stage on my knees. But I think the inherent life force, if you're lucky, as long as that ticks, I mean, I've met people in their 80s and 90s that are like children. And I really, really hope that both you and I have that capability. I saw such a deterioration in my mother, who died relatively recently, and the opposite. My dad died suddenly of cancer, but my God, he was sharp as mustard and a child right to the end. And I really hope that would be my thing. But I just think you learn to do it differently. What also, if you came to see us play on, say, 2 or 3 of the dates on the same tour, now what's odd about us than not so much other people, the lighting men and the sound men hate me. It's never the same set, exactly the same thing. I only say what comes into my mind based on the people that are in that room. I don't have any fixed sayings or I don't know what I'm going to say, which upsets the band sometimes. Sometimes if I stop in the middle of a song if I don't feel like it and explain it to the audience. And again, I do a lot of solo performance as well, so it's easier when you're solo. With a band, it's more difficult. I just think, I mean, I've always been known as Mr. Enthusiasm, and I long may that reign, really.
You don't have a set list in the sense that it's a set list.
No, we have a set list, but even, for instance, the beginnings and the ends of the songs are not set. And if I don't feel like doing that one, I'll leave it out and bring something else in.
What would you do if you went on stage and the audience just went blank?
I'd probably come off the stage and talk to them and play in the audience. I do that sometimes.
Oh, wow. I mean, I think one thing that we mentioned there is I'm not nostalgic at all. I like telling stories about the past, but I'm not nostalgic in the sense that everything back then was brilliant and everything after that is shit. I don't feel that at all. I feel my life today is far more interesting and dynamic than it's ever been. And I get that feeling from you as well. And in a sense, I feel that you're lucky. And the reason that you're lucky is that the music business, which has changed dramatically over the years, is so centered around making money touring that actually it plays into your...
It does. If it wasn't for COVID and Brexit, yes. The problem for me is I always thought, and what I enjoy doing, it's like I have two different brands. I have John Watt solo, who does very different things, very noisy, I have to say, but different things. Next door to a heavy metal band at South by Southwest, we were told to turn down. And as a solo performer, I took that as a great compliment. Sorry, I got confused. I was talking about two different brands, wasn't I? Where did it come from? I got lost. Sorry, there was
About the music business, and it changed so much that actually you're...
thing about the live thing is, I always thought my pension was that, because as long as I want to perform or even talk or read or do anything, it would always be there. And the big thing about having a following is there's two things. The downside is sometimes they only want you to do what they associate with a limited period in their lives. It's like wanting to wear... They want to... And I always say to them, look, I'm not... Can you wear the same pair of jeans you did when you were 25? And most of them can't say yes. I can, actually, which is ridiculous. Recently, I've lost lots of weight because of being miserable. But apart from that, it's fine. But you say, you know, I'm not a pair of trousers. And so what I will always do, I'll always play and perform a certain proportion of stuff that people really want to hear, because that's fine. I love doing that. But I'll also always give them things that make them think a little bit more as well. You know, and so I think that, in live performance terms, it should be an ongoing, but at the moment, it's just so precarious with everything being cancelled and moved all the time. But what I am and what the band are is extremely versatile. For instance, with our German tour that's supposed to be coming up soon, we're still not sure because of the areas what's going to happen. We've firmed up 4 out of 12, but I've said to the promoters, look, if you don't get X city, I will turn up with the band, because we can, the 7 of us, in a little bus, and we'll play on a flatback truck on the dock. Sod it. And at that point, the promoters think, oh my God, is he really going to do that? Oh no. And so hopefully it makes the reality better. I mean, we're thinking about doing a guerrilla weekend where we just turn up and do that and play. And for instance, if you want to play a big city and the venue can't play and the rules are wrong, you can apply to the, you know, to the students and play the university campuses or do whatever. So yeah. I like that. I like that element. It's the idea of being alternative that I like. I've never sat very well with... I've been signed to 7 different multinational record companies in a period of time, and I've successfully fallen out with all of them, which is not good news, because I'd be richer if I hadn't.
Yeah, but, you know, would you be richer? This is the point. In what way would you be richer? There's one thing that when I went into therapy, so we're going back to this clinical psychologist thing. I've got a real name, which is Stephen James, and I adopted another name, which was Steve Blame. Absolutely. And they told me, okay, then, you know, you are basically a schizophrenic. I was happy that I only had 2 personalities rather than 32. But in a sense, by being Fisher Zed, which is essentially John Watts.
It's me, yeah.
Yep. And being John Watts, which is John Watts, and they are different, Does that mean that you are also a schizophrenic?
Yeah, possibly. The thing that upset me, I think, was, I mean, obviously, the reason I came up with the name Fisher Z is because it doesn't mean anything. And I thought, from the old, you know, the Lacan thing, signifier and signified, the idea that the Fisher Z logo name would only signify the sound of the band. And it did. It was brilliant, but rubbish, because it means that my voice and everything is always tied to that. When I left it, and when I left Fisher Z and I did two or three solo albums, I was not aware of things like the brand. I didn't understand what the brand was about, wasn't interested. The fact was, I was the brand, and it's taken me all this time. My son said, look, Dad, he said, look, anything you do, if you decide to whistle down bottles, call it Fisher Z or call it Fisher Z Solo, then people can follow it. I've been The Cry, I've been all sorts of things, paramusic, God knows what else, you know? And so, yeah, I think there's a degree of that. I also, my big thing was, okay, we've made it as Fisher Z. I don't see why I can't be equally as universal with John Watts. And I proved very successfully the power of a brand.
Well, John, I wish you well, and I can't wait to see you on tour again once all this is a bit died down and you're able to get out here and tour, because I say it again, that energy and that enthusiasm from the audience was so sort of gripping during that concert.
Oh,
and I just absolutely adored it. So thank you for meeting you in Hamburg again and inviting me, because it gave me one of the great evenings in the last couple of years.
That's lovely. I'd say when I'm doing one of the solo shows, what I do is I do like a complete record, then I do requests and bits and pieces. And I sometimes have guests that I talk to. At some stage, maybe you'd be interested in doing that with me.
I'd love to, John. Brilliant. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you on tour.
Thank you, Steve.
And that's it for this interview with John Watts. I hope you enjoyed it. Look out for more interviews on Pop, the History Makers. I'll see you soon.
USAA insurance to help you save. Take advantage of discounts when you cover your home and your ride. Discover how we're helping members save at usaa.com/bundle. USAA. Restrictions apply.
At Sleep Outfitters Outlet, great sleep is a big deal. Save 40 to 60% every day on every Sealy, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic. Queens as low as $249. Customer exchanges, closeouts, and floor samples. Inventory changes daily, so come in for your dream deal today. With no credit needed financing, expert advice, and up to 60% off retail, it's never been easier to get the sleep and savings you deserve. Go to sleepoutfittersoutlet.com for financing details and to find a store near you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.